Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yo, what up? Welcome to another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. I'm Patrick, flying solo. So, the Golden State Warriors beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in Cleveland at the end of this five-game road trip, 121-114. And how about that? The Warriors finished this road trip 3-2. They beat San Antonio and then lost to Chicago, beat the Wizards in Washington, lost to the Celtics last night, and then surprisingly beat the Cavs. In this one, all the vets and most of the starters rested. Steph didn't play. Klay didn't play. Draymond didn't play. Wiggins didn't play. Poole did, and Looney did. Looney's consecutive game streak continues, and he played a lot in this one. I wasn't sure if he was just going to get like a token 5-minute run like he had in past back-to-backs. But this is great. You know, this is really promising, especially coming off of the effort the Warriors had in the Celtics game, right? It's almost like two different teams, because this team against the Cavs had Jonathan Kuminga and JaMychal Green back. And what we're looking for, like what we've been talking about for the past few weeks now, is like just finding some consistency. We've seen flashes. We've seen like what the vets can do when they are focused and engaged. We've seen what some of the newer guys and younger guys can do when they're healthy and on the court and they're focused. And you take the team from the Celtics game, you take the team from this Cavs game, and then you bring them back to Chase Center and meld them together, and maybe the Warriors are onto something, onto that something that we've thought that they've had this whole time, but just haven't been able to access for some reason or another. You know, the frustrating thing about this season is because the Warriors have been so middling, and because we know that they can be great, but then sometimes they bottom out. And so it's like, you, at this point, you can't get too high for, you know, really good wins. And you also don't want to get too low. But then it just becomes this like, well, you know, this middling malaise of you're not sure how to particularly feel about any single game. But coming off of this Celtics game and into this Cavs game, I mean, it's funny, right? Like the Warriors are heading into the quote unquote dog days of the season, which are traditionally, especially for this team, kind of like the slow, boring days of the season. It's after New Year's, it's before the All-Star game. But for this team, this season, it's super critical. And there's a lot of focus on these next couple of weeks before the trade deadline, next few weeks, and then before the All-Star break, because as I've said, what I'm looking for this team is to really, you know, find themselves, find their identity, find their rotation, and find their health, and gradually lead up to the All-Star break. And then after that, it's a mad dash to the postseason. I mean, it's a pretty long dash, but it's a dash nonetheless in terms of just finding a rhythm and then peaking at the right time. So this game, like coming off of the loss, the tough loss against the Celtics, by the way, that Celtics game. There were a lot of missed calls. And in the final 2 minute report, there were a lot of things that people brought up to me in the YouTube comments, whether it was Al Horford not getting that last shot off in time, you know, that would have given the Warriors more time on the clock to get a better shot off than like a desperation shot. There was the foul on Malcolm Brogdon, which wasn't called. It was Poole going for a layup. On the replay, he got all arm. Brogdon didn't. He got all of Poole's arm. Didn't get any ball, but that was called a clean block. There were a few other things I can't remember, but just want to bring those up because, you know, the Warriors did enough things to lose that game at the end. You know, they had it, but they let the rope slip. But in something tight like that, it's a shame that there were like five things that went against the Warriors in the final couple of minutes. So, you know, it is what it is, but another thing to just note. But in this game, I just have to say that, you know, with all the Warriors starters and vets or a bunch of them sitting out, and then the Cavs didn't have Donovan Mitchell, of course, you know, when they all got on the court for the tip, you're like, oh, you know, there's not this huge talent differential between the Cavs tonight and then the Warriors, right? Like, Darius Garland, he's been an all-star, et cetera. But then, you know, same draft year, Jordan Poole. Relatively similar, sure. You could say Garland is a little bit better and more consistent. And then you have Evan Mobley and Jonathan Kuminga. Yes, Mobley is seen as more of a sure thing, but obviously Kuminga has come on really, really strong in the past couple of months before his injury. And then Jared Allen, but then you have Kevon Looney. Allen is an all-star, but Looney is really dang good. So, like, there wasn't a massive, massive drop-off. And I will probably guess that the Cavs took their foot off the pedal a little bit on this one and probably overlooked this Warriors team. And this Warriors team came out strong. They had great energy. Poole was hot. Jordan Poole from the very beginning. And I'll be honest, I thought Jonathan Kuminga was going to be way rustier than he was. He, you know, wasn't perfect. He had some mistakes here and there, but he looked like he was just picking up where he left off. Poole, I mean, you know, there's a lot of like hot and cold with Jordan Poole, especially amongst like Warriors fandom and stuff, because he recently has had a lot of flubs, a lot of bad turnovers, a lot of poor decisions, but then he hits big shots. And in this one, just throughout the game, he was kind of epitomizing all those things. He was hitting big shots, tough shots, but then he would do silly things. Like in the fourth quarter, I believe it was Jordan Poole, they had a 14-point lead, and he, I guess, thought the ball was going to be a backcourt violation on him, but he didn't go get the ball, and then the Cavs grabbed it and went in for a dunk. It's like, you got to get that, you know, take the violation instead of giving up a uncontested dunk. And then there was the Jordan Poole turnover, and then getting that just mind-numbing technical. On the broadcast, you can see Steve Kerr really, really like laying into Poole. He could read his lips. He's like, Jordan, come on, like basically get your head in the game. And those are the things, right? He needs to figure out, because as he can be very dazzling in his play, he can also be very frustrating. I wrote down in the fourth quarter, can Jordan Poole close? And he almost didn't, but he did enough and the rest of the team did enough. It's a great win. You know, I would like to see Jordan Poole fight for boards a little bit more sometimes. There were a couple where when the Cavs were making their move, it seemed like he was just interested in scoring. And then on the other end, he wouldn't box anyone out or do anything like that. But, you know, this is a part of it with Jordan Poole. And hopefully he just continues to learn. There was that foul at the end of the game where he got called for an offensive foul when Caris LeVert was clearly trying to foul him. They reviewed it and they stuck with it. Bad call, but, you know, that's not on Poole at all. Poole, 41 minutes after playing 43 minutes in the Celtics game. Man, oh, to be young again. 10 for 23, 5 for 12 from 3, 7 for 8 from the line, 3 boards, 2 assists, 32 points. Still had 5 turnovers, though, so still needs to clean up those things. But, you know, I'll take it. Jonathan Kuminga, 27 minutes, 4 for 9, 2 for 2 from 3, which is big. Missed both of his free throws, 3 boards, 5 assists, 1 steal, 10 points, plus 8. Like I said, he was not as rusty as I expected. Maybe just rusty at the free throw line, but I have talked about how big Kuminga is for this team. Like for a couple months now, like I said, he just clicked. Everything clicked for him a couple months ago in Dallas, and this team sorely, sorely missed his energy, his athleticism, his youth, his pressure on the rim, his defense, point of attack defense, just activity. And it was awesome to see him in this, just kind of, you know, not lose any real rhythm. And what I like about him is, like, right, he was drafted pretty much as a small forward and plays a lot of power forward in the Warriors' schemes on both ends of the court. And Steve Kerr also said that he's more of a power forward right now. And, you know, I'll take it because they need somebody who, I mean, he challenged Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. He got blocked a couple times by Jared Allen, but a couple times he got to the basket, and I know that he got one over Evan Mobley. But, you know, the thing I like about him is that he can get to the post, he can get to the basket and use basically kind of power forward moves to get his shot off, right? He's not just gliding to the basket like a small forward or something like that, but he can get there, and it's that pump fake, man. It's that pump fake. He'll do like 2, 3, sometimes 4 pump fakes and eventually get his shot off. So again, because he's a quick riser, he is able to just, if he gets someone to bite on that fake, then he's good to go. And in this one, he was doing a little bit more initiating, a little bit more point forward stuff. He had a nice pass on a fast break for a layup, I believe. And, you know, it's just good to have him back. And this is just really, really promising. It's huge. And he had a bad foul at the end of the half. But, you know, it is what it is. Like, that's just kind of a brain freeze, right? He fouled, I believe it was Garland, when they were inbounding the ball. But it's good to see him play against Mobley, because those two guys were lottery picks in 2021, and people are really high on Mobley, and rightfully so. That kid is smooth. But I think Kuminga slowly but surely will earn his way up the ladder in that class. I mean, he was drafted 7, and probably right now I'd put him like 5th at this point. You know, honestly, I would put him in no particular order behind Mobley, Cade Cunningham, Scottie Barnes, Franz Wagner, and Kuminga. You know, that's a total homer take, but I've watched him grow from the very beginning, and I'm very high on his talent, high on his ceiling, and what he's been able to do in the last couple months. And that's going to be really, really critical. I've talked about how I think that he is definitely earning closer minutes this season and maybe into the playoffs, because if you think about it, and I said this before he got hurt, that the Warriors, Steve Kerr, has a few options to close out games with. Of course, you have Steph, you have Klay, you have Draymond, you have Wiggins, but then you can throw in Kuminga, or you can throw in Dante DiVincenzo, you can throw in Poole, you can throw in Kevon Looney in that 5th spot. So there's options. And what Kuminga brings, of course, as long as he's steady, he brings athleticism, he brings defense, and he brings a certain kind of pressure on the rim that the other guys cannot. So we'll see him. I'm sure Kerr will give him chances to close out games. And I just, you know, love seeing him out there. Ty Jerome, you know, I've talked about how much I like that dude, you know, just kind of getting to know his background in terms of being a player and watching him. You know, we talk about Dante DiVincenzo's pedigree, winning a title at Villanova. Ty Jerome won a title at UVA. And, you know, 41 minutes, that's a ton. 9 for 13 from the field, 22 points, 3 for 4 from 3, 8 assists, 1 steal. So I like Ty Jerome a lot. It's a shame for him that there's so many guards in front of him, and everybody's leaning towards Anthony Lamb, who also had a decent game, 4 for 8 from 3. Those are all the shots were from 3, 12 points, largely because Lamb can play bigger, right? And recently, of course, the Warriors have had issues guarding bigger teams. So I think that as much as I like Ty Jerome, Anthony Lamb might get the nod for the 15th spot, although I like Jerome better as a player overall, personally. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Either way, both those guys have proven a lot. They have a lot of tape for their agents to show other teams next season, if they most likely won't stick here, to get signed elsewhere and have a decently long NBA career or careers. Kevon Looney, 32 minutes, 17 boards, 4 points, plus 10, 4 assists, 2 steals. Love that guy. You know, he's willing to take a backseat, come off the bench in favor of starting Jordan Poole now, because I didn't talk about this after the Celtics game because it hadn't been discussed yet by that time, that Kerr is going to stick with Jordan Poole as a starter for now. He said to kind of give the team a spark. And that's going to be interesting, right? Like, some folks on YouTube have been talking to me about thinking that the Warriors should do this for a while. And I was always kind of pushing back against it because I thought, like, hey, you can't really reward Poole for not being able to bring it off the bench consistently. And, you know, the defensive drop off you lose with Looney going to the bench is huge. But with, you know, Andrew Wiggins being a little bit rusty, I get it. You need a little bit more of a kick in the pants off the bench. So we'll see. We'll see how long that goes. That puts a lot of pressure on Andrew Wiggins, who's basically sliding over to the power forward spot. And even though he's put on some weight, that dude is just still technically real thin. I mean, he's strong for how he looks, but, you know, obviously he got bodied in the Celtics game by Al Horford a few times, especially early on. So that's something to keep your eye on. And hopefully that injury he had, right, like, that doesn't get aggravated because he's going to be guarding bigger dudes in the post, pushing them and using his legs and his core to fight them off on defense. But we'll see. We'll see how long this one lasts. The NFL playoff action continues. We're one step closer to Super Bowl 57, and for the NFL divisional round, check out DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $5 and get 200 in free bets instantly. Plus, all new and existing customers can take a shot at an even bigger payout with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Boost your NFL winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. I got my eye on the Niners and how far Brock Purdy can actually take this team. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code TBPN. New customers can bet $5 on the NFL divisional round and get 200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code TBPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Overall, this is super promising. A lot of folks felt that the Celtics game, regardless of the loss and the bad calls at the end, that it was a good sign. They showed that they can still get up for these games, that they can still flip the switch. And I think that if these two teams that we saw, right, the Warriors vets that showed up against the Celtics and this Warriors team that caught the Cavs off guard, that for the most part, generally in this game, they were the aggressors. They were, especially in that third quarter, another good third quarter for the Warriors, they were running downhill. I mean, in the fourth quarter, you know, there were runs by the Cavs and the Warriors were kind of tripping over themselves a little bit. But for the most part, you know, these guys came after it. And you love to see that. You love to see that. Overall, you know, solid performance from all the Warriors that got on the court, even Jamichael Green, right? That dude made an appearance, right? And yeah, I said before he got hurt that he's the guy that I was not sure about in the rotation. And he might be the one that the Warriors move off of somehow, some way, to either in a small trade or, you know, to make room on the roster for a buyout guy. But, you know, he came out firing, right? 16 minutes, 5 for 10, 10 shots, 3 for 5 from three, 8 boards, 3 turnovers, 13 points. So he showed, like, you know, he's like, I can contribute. He had some kind of boneheaded plays. You know, he would make a shot and then have a turnover and then make a bad pass, all this stuff. But maybe that's rust. So obviously I am pulling for all the dudes in a Warriors uniform, but he's still the one where I'm like, you know, we'll see. I have no idea if James Wiseman's coming back anytime soon, hopefully on this upcoming homestand, because we all know the star-crossed career of James Wiseman. Every time he starts looking good, he gets hurt. I didn't expect this one to keep him out this long, especially like since it was just a rolled ankle, but who knows? I will put it on the training staff and not on James Wiseman. I'm not going to call him soft or anything like that. I'll put it on the training staff and say it's an abundance of caution, but I would like to see him out there to see if he can beat out Shamichael Green for that backup center spot and also just earn some minutes so that like Draymond and Looney can get some rest and that the Warriors have a different dimension to throw at other teams when the starters rest so that they're not just like jacking up threes throughout the whole season, right? Because they're shooting tons of threes. Patrick Baldwin Jr. got some minutes. He hit 2 threes, 2 for 3 from three. And, you know, I got nothing but good things to say about that guy. Only played 9, 7 points. 2 for 4 overall, 2 for 3 from three, but didn't get many minutes after the first half. He got some spot minutes in the second half, but you know, that dude is very promising. And I just look forward to seeing him more and more as the season goes. We probably would have seen more of him if this game wasn't so winnable, if the Warriors didn't build like a 20-point lead in the third quarter, which was, you know, surprising to everybody, you know. I kind of expected them to fight and to be in this one, but to just take advantage of a sleeping Cavs team without Donovan Mitchell, it's like, cool, awesome, I'll take it. You know, the Cavs were great at home. They've been great. They're 19-5 now after this loss. And the Warriors, a beautiful 6-18 on the road now. Moses Moody, only 14 minutes, 3 points, 1 for 2. From three, those were his only shots, 5 boards, 2 assists, 1 turnover. It's a bummer he couldn't get more run in this one because I didn't think he was playing terribly, but you just saw that he wasn't the guy that Kerr wanted to go with. It's tough, right? Like, I mean, like I said, Ty Jerome had 41 minutes, Moody had 14, and I like Ty Jerome, but it's tough that Moody can't crack more. Lamb had 25 minutes and Moody can't chip into that. So it's a shame. That might just be, you know, as Steve Kerr said, he's going to have a long career. I think personally that Moody's going to be a good player, but it's just not, there's just not enough minutes for him this season. So setting the tone, right? Like Steve Kerr set expectations for the rest of the season for Moody. And it kind of shows, right? He doesn't look super confident. He doesn't look like, when you see him on the bench, he looks focused, but he doesn't look at ease. He doesn't look too relaxed. And also on the court, you know, he's just trying not to make mistakes. And even in something like this, you know, if you told me at the beginning of the season that in one of these vet rest games, Moses Moody was only going to play a handful of minutes, 14 minutes, I would have been like, why? You know, I would have assumed he was hurt or something, right? Even Kuminga coming off injury, 27 minutes. So it is what it is. They got the W. I hope Moody can contribute sooner rather than later. And it's not like one of those things like he's a bust or whatever, but you know, we'll see what happens. And I've talked about it before that if there's any kind of small trade or anything like that, Moody is the guy that I would move off from in terms of the recent draft picks, right? Just because there's all these guards and you don't know if DiVincenzo or Ty Jerome are going to be on this team next season, right? But there's all these guards right now, and someone like Patrick Baldwin Jr., because of his 6'9", 6'10 height and his shooting ability, it's like you want to keep that, right? So like, I guess what I'm talking about is if you're looking at the future and all these young dudes, like who do you sign? Who do you keep? It's like Moody. He's the one to kind of, you know, maybe odd man out, but hey, obviously I would love to keep him, and you just want to make sure that he makes sense for however this team moves forward in the future. But, you know, a lot has to happen from here on out before we even get to the offseason and whatever. So anyway, the Warriors are currently, with games playing right now, they're currently back in seventh place. They are three and a half games behind the Kings, who are in third. And just to look in the other direction, they are one game in front of the Suns, who are currently 11th. So it's as tightly as it's packed, and as optimistically you could say, hey, the Warriors are just, you know, right there. They're also right there in terms of like falling out of it. So I believe, though, now that they're getting healthy and now that the vets, for the most part, are kind of rolling a little bit, showed some flashes, that the guys who are just coming back, who played in this one, bring it together, right? Bring it together. Now you have your top eight guys back, right? I've talked about that, the rotations, right? You have the starters, and then, well, the top six, including Poole and Looney, whoever is starting. And then you have DiVincenzo and you have Kuminga. I've talked about how they've had those top eight spots locked down for the past, I don't know, month and a half, 2 months, since Kuminga showed that he was a key piece, since everything clicked for him. And then it's finding that ninth spot, ninth and 10th, right? Michael Green, Wiseman, Lamb, Ty Jerome. I mean, situational, depending on who they're playing and who they need. Do they need a big? Do they need a guard? Do they need a wing? Whatever, you know? So that might be by committee for now, and until they sort things out. And then Andre Iguodala, like, it's almost like I swore I saw him in uniform and play, but we'll see. I don't know. Like, this is kind of what we expected, right? That he would be out for a while, come back, show that he can still play, and then get like a nagging injury and then sit out for a while until that's fully healed, and then come back, show some signs he can still play, and then get like another nagging injury. So love Andre, but you can't really bank on that just yet, no matter what. So this win, it's great, because now the Warriors, they head back to Chase Center for a three-game set. Sunday, they get the Nets without Kevin Durant. They get Memphis on Wednesday after a couple days off. And then they get the Raptors on Friday. So some solid opportunities to win games, but also some solid opportunities to lose, right? So like, at least they got some momentum, and it's up to them, right? I've talked about this ad nauseum. It's like they've shown they can turn it up at times, and then circumstances have slowed them down. But, you know, they have to show regardless that they can bring it. And if they can get on another like four-game winning streak, I mean, that Memphis game is going to be tough as hell, right? But at least they're at home. If they can get on a decent winning streak before they go to Oklahoma and then Minnesota, and then big win at Denver, and then they come back home and get Dallas and OKC again, then they can start stringing some of these together. And that's all I want. You're looking for like the trends, right? Now that the team is coming back together in terms of health, look for those trends and see how Kuminga, Jamichael Green, maybe James Wiseman can start helping the vets get rest, keep leads. I feel good about it, and this game was a good confidence builder for me as a fan, somebody who talks about the Warriors, and hopefully for the squad as well. So solid win, and just got to keep it going. That is another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Patrick E. Pino or at Oakland Warriors. Check out our YouTube channel where you can watch this episode, youtube.com/Oakland Warriors. Check us out at oaklandwarriors.com, and be sure to tell your fellow Warrior fan friends to tune in and listen. The Oakland Warriors podcast is produced by National Film Society and is a part of the Basketball Podcast Network. And if you're so inclined, please do leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you want to leave us a nice review saying good stuff about the show on Apple Podcasts, that would be hugely appreciated, and it would be very, very helpful. Thanks. That's it.
Music in this episode provided by Paper Sun. Special thanks to Paul Amardo for production support. See you next time, and go Dubs.